Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Robin McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Robin McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Okay, so let's try this. This week on Shake Them Ropes, I'm going to start with some audio that Rob recorded as he convalesces from his minor surgery. He'll be back next week. And then Paul Fontaine and myself break down our predictions for this year's Royal Rumble. Enjoy Shake Them Ropes.
Hello, everybody. Rob here. Special interruption, a special run-in here on Shake Them Ropes as we talk about the Royal Rumble. I'm sure Jeff and guest have been talking about the Royal Rumble in the week that was in professional wrestling, but here it is Rob's picks for the Royal Rumble 2026, because the Royal Rumble is by far, I would say, my favorite pay-per-view of every year, or PLE, Premium Live Event now, every single year above WrestleMania, above SummerSlam, above any type of War Games match, above Money in the Bank. It's the Royal Rumble, and it kicks off a very exciting time in WWE and for wrestling fans. I mean, look at the last few weeks. We just had Tommaso Ciampa show up on AEW. We have questions about AJ Styles, questions about Chris Jericho. We have New Japan members leaving. We have AEW guys coming into WWE, WWE to AEW, TNA starting on AMC. So there is a lot of movement roster-wise, a lot of transactions. And in the world of sports, the transaction has almost become that much more exciting, or as exciting as the actual performances, if you will. Basketball trade deadline, Giannis Antetokounmpo, where is he going to go? The talk's not on the games right now. The talk is, what's LeBron going to do next year? What's Giannis going to do? It's kind of like that going into the Royal Rumble, is who's going to show up? What transaction are we going to see? So let's talk about the Royal Rumble a little bit. Let's start with the men's Royal Rumble match, because it is the main event. It is one where we have, we talked about this last week on the show. We have a few different possibilities for winners, and maybe there's going to be a Jey Uso this year where it comes out of nowhere and we get a winner that we just did not see coming going in. According to betonline.ag, the top odds, the favorites, if you will, for the Royal Rumble this year are very interesting, because I think some of the top five aren't even going to be in this match. You have Royal Rumble favorite Roman Reigns at plus 150. He is the favorite to win. You have Gunther as the second favorite to win, although he is going to be wrestling AJ Styles on the show. I honestly think this is what keeps him out of the Rumble. I don't really expect Gunther to be in the men's Royal Rumble match, although it would make sense that he would be. He probably should be. He deserves it. It could be the way he gets back on track for the world title. But I almost wonder if they're doing this AJ Gunther match for a couple of reasons, obviously, most to do with AJ Styles. But for Gunther, to get him out of the Royal Rumble match while still keeping him on the show. Bron Breakker is your third favorite at plus 200. And then Sami Zayn, another guy I don't expect to be in the Royal Rumble match. I do not expect Sami Zayn to be in this Rumble match, because he has the world title shot against Drew McIntyre on this very show. And then rounding out, you have Cody Rhodes, and next you have LA Knight. LA Knight, actually a guy that I could see being up there with the favorites. Now, that would be the Jey Uso pick this year, where it comes out of nowhere, and then really are you going to have him in a main event match at WrestleMania when you have guys like Cody Rhodes, the possibility of Seth Rollins, what are CM Punk and Drew McIntyre going to defend their titles against? Is LA Knight one of those guys? So I would actually go into this match thinking that Roman Reigns is my favorite to win as well. But I don't know what that means for him. I don't know if that means he goes to CM Punk or if they possibly do Cody Rhodes versus Roman again, and maybe Cody Rhodes gets the belt back from Drew. Or do you do Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre on that show? Because that would be a fresh match over the last couple of years. I know they've wrestled for the title on pay-per-view before, but this would, it almost seems fresh at this point with how Drew McIntyre has been focused on Cody Rhodes over the last, 6 months, and how Roman Reigns has gone away. We also have Brock Lesnar coming back. I mean, Brock Lesnar is one of those who's not, you know, potentially a favorite at this moment, but gosh, I mean, you want to put Brock Lesnar in the main event against CM Punk? You want to put Brock Lesnar in a rematch against Drew McIntyre? Maybe you have a multi-man match that Roman Reigns is involved with. The fact that Brock Lesnar is not one of the favorites right now is actually a little bit surprising to me. Over on the Women's Royal Rumble side, I think the favorites are right here pretty much my favorites as well. Liv Morgan is the favorite to win at minus 125, like a heavy favorite. Bianca Belair at plus 150, and then Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley, to me, seems fully entrenched in this tag title situation right now. I don't see her getting a one-on-one shot at WrestleMania. Maybe a returning Tiff Stratton. Possibly Becky Lynch, although I think her match is AJ Lee at WrestleMania, so I don't see Becky Lynch winning this one. To me, it comes down between Liv Morgan and Bianca Belair. Those are your two most likely to go ahead and win this match. And I'll go ahead and say that Bianca Belair is my pick. It's a little weird right now that Liv Morgan would be right up there, potentially going for a WrestleMania title shot when you still have Raquel Rodriguez in her program right now with Stephanie Vaquer. So I would go ahead and say that Bianca Belair is my favorite to win the Women's Royal Rumble match. And of course, you have Gunther and AJ Styles. A lot of speculation going on. AJ Styles just applied for some trademarks, renewed trademarks on his logo, on his name. Could this be, you know, obviously planning for a potential exit from WWE, but is that exit coming very, very soon? Is his contract up at the end of this month from when he signed back in 2016? Is his contract up and he might be on the way out, maybe wrestling other places for maybe a little bit better schedule, maybe not so much on the road every week. Who knows what could possibly happen? We have AJ Styles and Gunther. I'm going to go ahead and say that Gunther wins this match. It's a weird situation. It could go either way. But yeah, I will go with Gunther on this one, and I think we might actually see the end of AJ Styles in WWE. And maybe he shows somewhere else. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he goes in the WWE Hall of Fame. Maybe he sticks around. Or could he be back working months at a time for whatever company he wants? Really, the future is up to AJ himself. And if this is the way he wants to go out, then hey, you better be watching on Saturday, because it may very well be the end of the road. And of course, we have Drew McIntyre and Sami Zayn for the WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn. It would be a really cool story if Sami won. And then, honestly, if he wins, it throws all different types of issues out there at the Royal Rumble. Because if Sami Zayn wins, I could see a Roman Reigns winning and possibly going up against Sami, and we continue that old bloodline story. And see Cody Rhodes. We have a babyface versus babyface. Or we can get one of those off-the-wall names, whether it's an LA Knight, whether it's a Bill Goldberg, or just someone that we're not thinking about right now. What if Randy Orton comes up and wins this match, and all of a sudden Randy Orton and Sami Zayn? I don't know if that's necessarily a WrestleMania main event, if you're trying to get those last-minute ticket sales for Las Vegas. But Drew McIntyre, I don't see going into WrestleMania as the world champion either, so there's a lot of different ways they can go about this. We've talked about this before. We have all February and all March, and then a couple weeks in April with an Elimination Chamber pay-per-view in between. There's a lot of stuff that could happen between now and WrestleMania. Royal Rumble, WrestleMania is 3 months apart these days. No more end of January, early March. for WrestleManias where you don't have that separation. So a lot can still happen wherever you are watching the Royal Rumble, whatever time you're watching it on, whether you're watching it on Netflix internationally or ESPN Unlimited. I have to watch it on Netflix via VPN because I don't have ESPN Unlimited. Even though I'm a YouTube TV subscriber, I would like them to get that fixed. But hey, enjoy Royal Rumble Saturday. We'll see you next week on Shake Them Ropes. Thank you.
Let's do the old Letterman intro. Hey, kids, do you like professional wrestling? We like professional wrestling, too. It says, Shake Them Ropes. You just heard Rob McCarron's audio. He is convalescing from his minor hernia surgery. Told it went well. Should be back next week. I am joined, because I never get to plug the show on the show anymore, by my Dynamite Show host. I am the co-host there. I'll be hosting him here in my house, mi casa, su casa. Paul Fontaine also does audio over on Wrestling Observer for UFC and various other things. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Jeff. So they don't let you plug the Dynamite Show on this show?
It's not that. It's like we used to get our plugs in, and then like the way Rob runs the show, it's always he always does some kind of like semi trolling thing where he
gotcha. Like okay, so it's not like a directive from on high.
No, it's not a directive. No, it's okay. Not. Paul, you have the privilege of being the only person in my generation that I do a show with now. So I'm gonna bring up this reference.
Rob's not that far off.
Rob's good decade behind me, I think.
Really? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I thought he was older. Okay.
If I gave you the reference Free to Be You and Me, would you understand what I'm talking about?
Oh man.
The old Marlo Thomas and Friends album from like
No, that's and it I mean I am in that generation. I just that's a little out of my wheelhouse. Yeah.
It's for some reason it's been an earworm.
I do know that phrase though. I mean maybe I knew the phrase but I didn't know where it came from.
It was this very 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 progressive album that came out in the 70s where they were trying to give self-esteem to children. Like there's something from Rosie Greer who's an old lineman in football. It's like it's okay to for boys to cry, and there's Marlo Thomas and Mel Brooks do a skit on it about being babies and stuff like that. It's cute. It's nice. It was one of my favorite albums as a kid.
She was a very sexy older lady when I was growing up, and she's still around.
She's still around. Well, I mean, her father was a big celebrity in like the 50s. And
right, yeah. She's and she was that girl, right?
Yeah. And she's had a lot of plastic surgery.
yes. Yeah. But yeah, like even back then, she was like in her 30s and, you know, and that was like, oh yeah, she was the MILF. She's the original MILF.
What are you doing to this show already?
I don't know.
What does, there's somebody writing with kids going, what's a MILF, daddy?
Sorry.
And it's like, oh no.
Oh, they know what a MILF is. Come on.
Oh, they do. Oh my God. I'd clip that. Oh, it's the most incorrigible week for wrestling commentary, Paul. It's the Saudi Arabia show.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, look, here is my thing with it. If you enjoy the Royal Rumble, watch the Royal Rumble. It's going to be fun. It starts the road to WrestleMania. The people who are criticizing you from iPhones made in China. Which AEW tried to get into bed with, okay? So nobody
they,
has...
And those fans that are there love wrestling, they love WWE. And, I mean, and the fact is if you're watching WWE, it's being funded by Saudi Arabia, whether or not you watch the Saudi Arabia shows. That company, a good portion of their profit margin is from these Saudi Arabia shows.
Don't ascribe your morality to corporations, because they're going to disappoint you every time, even the ones you like.
I mean, it's, you know, they're gonna do their propaganda and the women are gonna come out in cat suits, and you know what, if you want to skip the Royal Rumble because the women are in cat suits, fine,
have no problem if you're skipping it for your own morality reasons. I really don't. I just don't want you to proselytize that you're somehow a better person for it.
No.
That's all.
And can I be the one to say some of these women look better in the cat suits?
I actually
they're pretty sexy, some of them. I agree with you.
I actually think they look more like athletes in the cat suits versus some of the gimmicks that they're doing.
They're aesthetically pleasing, however you want to.
Yeah. Well, that's also true. I think some people get into their gimmick and then the costuming makes it impossible to take them serious as athletes sometimes.
Oh, you mean like the regular ones?
Yeah, it's like being an Olympian, you know, kind of a thing.
But when you see, like, you know, they'll probably be at some point, there'll be 15 of them in the ring at the same time, and they're all in cats. Then you're like, okay, it's
they'll be in various colors of the cat suits that go with whatever their gear is in real life.
But it's like, okay, this is what we're getting now, and people make the Power Ranger reference, and I mean that's fine. You know what?
I assume this year we're going to go back to the first time we were in Saudi Arabia, because I believe they've signed a Saudi Arabia wrestler.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that too. So we're going. God bless Mansoor.
He went undefeated for like 8 shows. And then now he's working now he's doing CMLL this weekend, I think.
I would assume there's going to be a hard push and an angle of some kind for this guy on this show. And you're just going to have to live with it, guys.
Maybe he's going to win the Rumble.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine?
I thought about that for a moment. I did. Yeah. I went, would they debut a guy on? No. Yeah.
Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. Yes.
Because next year, then WrestleMania is in Saudi and this dude. Oh my God! Can you imagine?
Big news this week: Tommaso Ciampa signed and debuted on AEW Wrestling last night.
Yeah,
there was a interview in Sports Illustrated or SI.com, as we call it, the online version, and they have some good people over there. I've done podcasts, I think, with all of them, because it's Zach Hadorn, Rick Uchino, and
Justin Barrasso.
SP3. I haven't done one with Barrasso. That's one I've lacked. But he says, it's something I've been leaning towards for quite some time. I don't know that I can say there's one sole factor that led it or caused it. I think it's one of those things when your contract is coming to an end, you naturally have discussions. If I wrestled in the 90s, I'd want to be part of ECW. Early 2000s, you want to be part of Ring of Honor. I was lucky. I got to do that a bit. 2010s, I think, for me at least, I wanted to be part of NXT Black and Gold. And when I looked at the landscape of professional wrestling in the 2020s, the answer was AEW, man. That's what I want to be a part of.
So the one place that he never wanted to be was main roster WWE.
Yeah, and I don't blame him, because it's still the land of giants in many ways. But here's another great, I think this quote is great, because it goes into our discussion last night about it. For a long time, I had to listen to people tell me, not so much directly to my face, but more so online, that 2018 was prime Ciampa. I'm 100 times better now than I was then. That was nothing. That was absolutely nothing. I'm physically better. I'm mentally sharper. My storytelling, my psychology is on a whole different level than it was back then. What people are about to see is going to blow their minds. I'm going to shock the world, because I finally have a shot to find out if I'm as good as I think I am.
Interesting. So he's been told that the sky's the limit. Like, he doesn't have that glass ceiling that he had in WWE.
I guess. I don't ever think you really have a glass ceiling in WWE if you get yourself over. I just don't think he had the chance to, like, do promos like he used to in Black and Gold.
That's true. You kind of do, though. Like, you know, there's only a half dozen guys that are ever going to be the top guy.
Yes, he was never going to be world champion.
No, and I assume that he's been told, hey, you know what, if you get over and if, you know, you, it could happen here. I don't think it can, but, you know, if he thinks it can and, you know, if he's motivated, I mean, we've seen what Ricochet has done. And, you know, Ricochet, I mean, we've talked about Ricochet, and he's in the exact same spot on the card as he was in WWE, but he is way more entertaining.
Yes, he's way more interesting in this form.
Yeah, and Trump, I think, will be as well. Because he will have the freedom to do the kind of things that he wants to do. And we talked about it last night. The people in AEW, the wrestlers in AEW, they're really good at having great matches, and they're able to get a reaction from the crowd and get the crowd into what they're doing. Ciampa is able to work the crowd into making them feel the way he wants them to feel, which is not the same thing as the Bucks and, you know, and you know, whoever, FTR going out there and just having a great match. Although I have to actually, FTR is a bad example because they're pretty good at that too.
I think FTR is pretty good at that. I think,
yeah, but like you say, Bucks against the Lucha Bros, you know, they're not there anymore, but you know, they're going to go out there. They're gonna have a great match. People are going to love it. They're going to go nuts. And that's great. You know what? Their fan base loves that.
You know what? They're going to have the great match. And then you're going to say, yeah, but the psychology. And then the people are going to backtrack and go, no, you don't understand the psychology. Yeah, it's like, no. Not on the level that Ciampa works, though. Ciampa knows how to be a villain.
And he'll do, and he also knows how to be a babyface.
Yes.
So whatever his role is, he's going to be able to fill it. If they decide to make him an evil heel, he'll figure it out. If they decide they're going to make him a lovable babyface in the Mark Briscoe vein, he'll do that. That guy is the ultimate utility guy, and that insinuates that he has a ceiling, and maybe in AEW, like I said earlier, he's not going to be the top guy, and he probably won't, but he'll wrestle for the world title at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah. Here's a concern that a friend of ours brought up to me.
Okay.
Late last night that we didn't address on the show, and it's an interesting one, and I hadn't thought about it for a bit. Ciampa had neck issues.
That's true. Yeah,
and a lot of these guys do that style that is a bit tough on the neck. Do you have any concerns about that?
I didn't until you just mentioned it. No, I mean, you know what? And the problem is, in WWE, they're fully aware of that and are gonna rein them in. And that probably isn't going to happen in AEW. You know, they're going to say, go out there and have your match. And if... You know, and if he takes chance, now Ciampa's a smart guy, so maybe he's going to limit himself. Mm-hmm. But if he starts to feel it like Danielson did, you know, like Danielson had that same reins on him in WWE, then he goes to AEW and he's balls to the wall, and a year and a half later he's done.
Yeah,
you know,
and
you know what? Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what all he wants.
I, you know, there's a part of me that thinks some guys want that, and not to say that, oh, he wants to get hurt. No, not necessarily,
he just wants to give everything he's got
for
however long he can. And then he knows, hey, if I get hurt and you know, I can't wrestle anymore, they're going to pay me out. They're not going to cut me.
Right.
Tony, like if his contract, let's say it's 3 years, $350,000 a year, you know, he's getting $1 million for 3 years. And it may be more than that. Because that's what he would have gotten WWE. So it probably is a little bit more than that. He, no matter what happens, if he only wrestles a year, Tony's going to pay him that whole amount. Mm-hmm. He's not going to cut him. Whereas WWE would have.
No, he's part of that Ring of Honor / PWG crew that, you know, he wants to collect all of them.
And that ultimately may be his best value there, especially if they get a TV deal. If they get a TV deal, like he could be like, he's the main eventer in ROH for sure. If they want to do that with him.
I don't think ROH gets a TV deal though. Do you?
Probably not, but you know, if they do, I mean,
why would you do an ROH? Hold on. But why would you do an ROH TV deal when you can just give them a third AEW show?
Maybe they don't want a third AEW show. I don't know. Sure, I mean, you see what Collision's doing? They did a 0.02 on the weekend.
Oof. No, yeah. I did not see that.
Yeah. So, I mean, and ROH is going to do worse than that. Right. But, you know, unless he wants to, like, try and push the streaming part of it, I mean, you know, and if you assign certain guys to that brand that you can only see if you get the ROH Honor Club, you know, I mean, you know, if you get enough guys down there, you know, Ricochet, Bandito, or not Ricochet, but Bandito, Ciampa, you know, like a few other names, and say, okay, the only place you're going to see these guys is Ring of Honor. You might have enough sickos that will pay the $10 a month.
That's true. I didn't think of that. Sad news. Bozilla on her Instagram today announced that she had tore her ACL on January 12th.
Wow.
In the first few moments of that Stardom match she was in. This is why you strike when the iron is hot, kids. Everybody goes, oh, she can come back. She got over huge in that turn. Yeah, injuries happen, guys. I haven't seen a lot of her. I only saw the parts that were in AEW, admittedly.
I've seen a couple of matches that she had over Mania weekend last year, including one with Megan Bain. I mean, she's a project. I mean, she could be on AEW television.
Yeah.
Right now. She's decent.
Projects are one of those things where it's like they need years, and maybe this, I'm not saying injuries are good ever, but they can be learning tools at times as she comes back and watches tape as she's rehabbing mm-hmm. and then has to work a different style, perhaps. I mean, it's one of those things, maybe, like, I don't know what she tore it on. It was probably just something routine, because that's usually how this goes.
Yeah.
It's never on anything big. It's always like, oh, I took a step down from the apron and my knee buckled, and you're just like, God.
but it does set you back a year. So, yes. You know, she'll be a year older. You know, and the women everywhere, like, women are improving at a really fast rate as opposed to men, you know, who are already a pretty high level, like in the major companies, I mean. So she may not be as valuable in a year as she is now.
Yeah, that's true. But you can always build back your value.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of those things. For sure. Yeah, and especially for...
And I think, like, she's pretty young. I think she's like 23, 24.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
And possibly of interest, possibly not of interest, because
22. Holy shit.
Wow.
Pardon my French. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Plenty of time.
Yeah.
Just might need to wear a brace underneath the gear. That's all.
There you go. Yeah.
Possibly of interest, possibly not of interest, because these things tend to happen around this time. AJ Styles has filed trademarks for the Phenomenal One and the branding surrounding that.
Hmm.
The P1 stuff that he used to do.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't take the bait anymore. I just go, okay.
I mean, I'm kind of the same as you, but we just saw this with Ciampa.
Yeah, like, we did. We know that there's stuff, you know, that he wants to do. I don't know. I mean, we may have just bought the trademarks back from the company. That could be.
Is this match that he's having with Gunther? I haven't read the contract. Is it retire from professional wrestling?
Hold on. Do you think I've read the contract?
No, of course not. But maybe you paid closer attention than I did. Is it retire from professional wrestling, or is it retire from WWE?
It's a retirement match.
Okay. Ric Flair had a retirement match.
Yes, I know. Terry Funk had a few of them. Raven had a couple. Yeah, yeah.
But I'm talking WWE. Like, Ric Flair had a very high profile retirement match. Mick Foley had a retirement match and wrestled 6 weeks later in WWE.
I assume. Well, it says in the wiki, it says if Styles loses, he will be forced to retire from in-ring competition. But I also assume it's he will be forced to retire from in-ring competition, in parentheses, in the WWE.
Yeah. Now, I've seen speculation that he could lose that match and then go do a run in TNA, which he could still do while under WWE contract.
Why?
But I do believe that whatever contract that he signed, I think the last I'd heard was he had signed a one-year contract. And I feel like it was about a year ago.
Yeah.
And, of course, everyone remembers he debuted at the Royal Rumble. So... You know, whenever he was re-signing deals over the last 10 years, they were probably, you know, right around the Royal Rumble time.
Rob and I talked about this last week, and I can't see him joining AEW necessarily, but I could see him doing a run in New Japan. If he wanted
Well,
to.
He could do both.
Well, he could do both.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to be fairly loyal. I don't know.
If he leaves WWE, like, if that's his decision, if he wants to do that, I could totally see him going to AEW.
I think
he's got friends there. And
I mean,
put it this way. He is like the way he is basically like Sting was to the generation that came up in the 2000s and 2010s.
The Ring of Honor generation.
He is Sting to that generation. And a lot of the top guys in AEW want to have matches with AJ Styles.
Did you watch Saturday night's main event?
Did I? Of course.
That Nakamura match.
Oh, it was great.
Loved it. I loved watching Nakamura in that match too. That's the thing. It's like, that dude... I've missed that dude. I really have. It was one of those things where I'm watching this. I'm going, I miss this awesome Shinsuke Nakamura. Where Where
you know
has
what?
This
you know
been
what?
In a while?
You know what take bugs me so much is this take, and everyone's doing it. Oh, WWE has misused Shinsuke Nakamura and Finn Balor because we've seen what they can do. No, the reason why what they're doing is so great is because of what they've done the last 5-6 years, because we haven't seen it. If we saw it every week, it wouldn't be special.
If they were working for a guy, and look, I'm going to take some heat on this one, but I'm going to do it. If they were working for a guy like Tony Khan, who would march them out there every week to do this, no.
Yeah, they'd be broken down. And, yes. You know, and the fact is, you know, like, yeah, Shinsuke, I mean, not only that, like, I'm sure a lot of what's happened with Shinsuke was Shinsuke. Like, he did, he came to the U.S. not to have bangers every week.
No.
He came to surf and
make money.
And do, hey, you want me to, okay, great. Tell me when. I'll be there. Oh, you don't need me? Super. Talk to you when you need me.
He came to see if he could play Carnegie. That's what he came to see.
And he did. And he did. He's had a way better run than anybody probably thought he would.
Yes, because he doesn't speak great English, so he can't do the WWE promo style. But
especially if you factor in the NXT run.
Yeah, but he's overcome that with his aura and his mm-hmm. presentation. It's a lot like Asuka, because you know you look at someone like Asuka and you go, that's not somebody WWE really gets behind. And dude, she can do no wrong in that company at this point. Like, she's even doing the dumb comedy great.
Yeah, and Finn Balor, he comes in, he's 175-pound Irish dude with, you know, a nice physique, but, you know, you couldn't have thought that he was going to do great in WWE, you know, 12 years ago, whenever came in.
That
and
video
he's
on
done
Netflix.
Phenomenal.
That video on Netflix laid it in a bit thick, though, on the people, especially the people who go, oh, what, does he have to learn to work the hard camera? He goes, no, I had to go learn how to work the camera.
Yeah, because he'd never done it. Yeah. And this isn't New Japan where they're shooting it like it's a sporting event. This is WWE where they're shooting it like it's a television show.
Correct.
And you do need to learn that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he didn't need to be down there for a year and a half, however long he was.
It's you know what it is? It's like the stage actor going, well, I know how to hit my spots. Why doesn't the camera find me? It's like, no, you need to find the camera, dude. It is a skill set that you need to have, especially because it's so slick in WWE. Yeah. It's not like the 1980s territories with guys with camcorders on their shoulders, you know, super eights
taping. And honestly, that may be why you know, even like a Blake Monroe needed to go there, because in AEW she had the freedom to do things you know, that she doesn't now. So
that's the talking point that gets me, and I didn't bring this up last night, but it's like, ah, Mariah May, she threw away her career to go to NXT. Oh, it's like, no, she's doing fine, and Tony Storm is now doing bad comedy with Orange Cassidy. So let's not go into how they're two.
They were good for each other. And she'll be fine once she gets the main roster. All right,
let's do a preview then. I don't know who Rob is picking, but we have 4 matches announced for the Royal Rumble. So we'll start with the first 2 singles matches. We'll start with the aforementioned career-threatening match, AJ Styles versus Gunther. Paul Fontaine, ROH historian, revered member of the Figure Four Empire. Is this it for AJ Styles?
No, he's winning.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I they're working us. Like,
is there chicanery involved in how he wins?
Well, it depends what you want to call chicanery. I think what's gonna happen is they're gonna play off that first finish. And so it's going to be maybe Gunther is tapping to try to fake out, but then the ref actually sees it and calls
it. Yeah. Oh, that's such a good ending.
Yeah. Or AJ knows what's going on and doesn't give up the hold. And then Gunther has to go to the ropes to break it. And then the ref gets in the way to try to break it. And then maybe AJ hits him with a low blow and rolls him up or something. Like something like that, where, you know, like Gunther's like trying to, you know, play, you know, Gunther's too smart for his own good. Like something like that. I don't think he's losing. I really don't.
They are laying this on thick. I don't know if you saw the video of CM Punk and AJ Styles after Raw went off the air.
I did not.
But they are, but man, it's been great. If this is it for your career, you don't beat Gunther. Yeah. I mean, they are laying it on so thick in social media. It makes me think that they're not going to do it. I think they might. I think this might be it. But I love your ending. I love the thought of Goldberg possibly saving AJ Styles from doing it. I have a problem, I think, in my logic, in that I think that Gunther is dead set on retiring a bunch of people this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I think Brock is on that list.
Yeah, Brock at SummerSlam, probably.
Yeah, I think others may be on that list as well.
Ray.
And so I could see them. Yeah, well, if he can come back this year. It's one of those things.
The latest injury is not that serious, is it?
Yeah. These things are weird at this age.
And when you're like our age.
Yeah, it's one of those. Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm watching this and going, would they give up a Gunther loss to do this? And I can't get there. Mm. I could see them looking at AJ and going, all right, man, you've had a good run. It's time. I like your ending. I think you're correct. I think you're correct.
But I like that we don't know.
Yeah,
I do like that. This thing with Unreal, I mean, it just opens it up to, like, you can't believe anything anymore. Like,
B-roll BS, to be honest with you. I don't think any of that is real. I think they just feed that.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, anytime something like the Shinsuke Nakamura tweet, you know, like any kind of interview that's given, like, and it makes it seem like, oh, this is a clue. No, it's just another storyline for Unreal.
Right.
Or it could be. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean it is, but it could be. And it's just like Unreal is just a new form of working people.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being worked.
No, not at all.
I enjoy it, to be honest.
I love being worked. I love the fact that I had no idea Ciampa was going to be there last night, you know?
Drew McIntyre versus Sami Zayn in a singles match for the undisputed WWE Championship.
Yeah, I've been calling Sami to win since before. Like when they initially made when they said, okay, we're going to do a four way and then it's, you know, we're going to do four qualifying match. We're going to do four way in Montreal. Winner gets Drew at the Rumble. It just seemed like a perfect setup for Sammy to finally win the world title and finally beat Drew McIntyre. And they've been pushing so hard that he's never beaten Drew McIntyre.
I think this will all depend on where this match is on the card. If this is the last match, yes, he's winning it.
I don't think it will be.
I have seen speculation that he loses here, he wins the Rumble next year, and then he wins it in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
I think that's way too long of a chance.
The problem, because, I mean, he could get hurt between now and then.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, is that you could get injured, you could have things happen to you. I think he gets a win here, pops that crowd and loses it in the elimination chamber.
That's exactly what I think. Like, I don't think he has it at WrestleMania, but I think, you know, if he wins, it's a Rey Mysterio run, you know, or
it feels like the happy moment. It feels like something to tweak the cynical people that, oh, they just did that to get good graces of Saudi Arabia. They want to go home happy too.
They want to get 100 million a show for their next contract with Saudi.
Get paid. Yeah, I am going to be with you here. I thought we might be digressing on this, but Drew McIntyre and Sami Zayn, I have Sami Zayn winning this.
The flip side, the argument against it is, you know, Drew just won the title. He's doing a really good job with the belt. He's a really good champion. Like, so if they do decide to keep the belt on Drew, like, I understand that. I just wouldn't do it.
I also think this is ripe with Cody, Randy, Jacob Fatu, Drew, and Drew can use this as this I'm the truth teller and people are screwing me again type of promo that he does. You get all six of those in the thing, one of them wins, and you end up having like a three-way at Mania or something.
I agree. We're in agreement there.
Okay, cool. The Women's Royal Rumble. So how we're gonna do this are unannounced people that you think are going to be in there, NXT people you think will be in there, And who wins? So how about we do this? Currently announced, Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, Roxanne Perez, Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Bayley, Lyra Valkyria, Asuka, Chelsea Green, Jordynne Grace, Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax, Lash Legend, Julia, Maxine Dupree, and Becky Lynch. Currently announced. So who do you have for people who have not been announced that are going to show up for this?
I think AJ Lee for sure is going to be in it. I saw speculation Lola Vice. That makes sense. I mean, you know, and that would be like an, I mean, that, I guess that would be for the next one for NXTs. Michelle McCool is always a decent bet. I don't think you said Natty's name, so I don't see any reason why she wouldn't be in there.
Right. She wouldn't be much of a surprise though. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking like, okay. And so the one that I picked on when we did the takedown on Fight Game Media with Garrett Gonzalez, I did predict Britt Baker. So I'll say it here. I don't, you know, like, I don't know how likely that is, but I just, since I said
I think
it on
there's,
takedown,
I think there's zero chance of this.
Okay.
I think,
and the reasoning, we talked about it last night, I think. Maybe it was off air, but
you don't debut a woman in Saudi Arabia.
Well, not just that, it's like they're not going to know who she is.
That too.
Yeah, like you could you could bring in a Trish or a Lita or somebody, like, you know, somebody famous. They'll know who that is and they'll probably pop.
Yeah, I think any of the big names that weren't on NXT Tuesday will be in this, in that. I think it's going to be, I think Lola Vice is a good call. I think JC Jane is a good call. I think Kehlani Jordan is a good call. And I think
I predicted her as well on TikTok.
And Sol Ruka will be in this.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And it will drive the split with her tag partner.
Zarya. Yeah. Yeah. Was she on NXT? I can't remember.
Zarya was on NXT. She beat the 35-year-old Thea Hale.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
We were talking about that last night. Did Thea Hale look 10 years older than she usually does last night? I went,
20 maybe.
It's weird because Thea Hale was originally on the advertising in Saudi Arabia with Lil Vice.
Well, I mean, it's not like she couldn't have gotten from, you know,
other Florida to Saudi. Other surprises. I think the Iconics show up.
Oh God, I hope not.
Just to do a comedy bit with Kathy Kelly backstage.
Chelsea Green wasn't on your list, I don't think.
She was. She was.
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah, she's gonna be a big part of the Rumble. Like, I'm not saying she's gonna win or anything, but she's gonna have some memorable moments. I'll just say that.
Is there a TNA person that could be in this? Tessa Blanchard.
Was Jordynne Grace wasn't? Was
Jordynne
she
Grace? Jordynne Grace is announced.
Oh, okay.
From SmackDown.
TNA? I don't know. Like,
how about Paige?
Possible. I mean, it's always possible. That's a name that the Saudis would recognize, I think. So, you know, that's definitely one you could do.
Yeah.
I keep going back to this TNA. I'm trying to think. Like, you know what? The only one, like, if I'm booking, the only one I'd want is Dani Luna, but yeah. I don't see her getting, like, she get less than zero reaction, but she's like somebody I'd be interested in if I was WWE, and Maggie Grace, but there's no way she's going to be there.
Winners.
Bianca is a surprise.
Bianca's going to be a surprise.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out who wins the men's Rumble, cause it's always one SmackDown, one Raw. And where is it coming from? I think Bianca wins this.
I do as well. I have her at number 30 and winning.
Okay, I have her at 27.
I think that's the most popular winning spot.
Yeah.
I also predicted, and you didn't ask this question, but the final four, I've got Rhea and Io.
Rio.
They call themselves Rio. I think it's hilarious. Those two, Bianca and Liv, as the final four.
Okay, yeah. Liv was who I was pondering when I thought it might be a Raw woman. And
yeah, I mean, and she could totally win. Like, she easily could win. I do have Bianca.
I think AJ Lee eliminates Becky to set up their thing for Mania.
Absolutely.
And I think Lash Legend eliminates a bunch of people. I think she's
Had predicted that on Takedown as well. We're on the same page here.
So we're on the
same
page.
And I think Nia Jax gets eliminated by somebody that shouldn't be eliminating her. whether that's like a Chelsea Green.
I think it's Lash Legend.
Could be. Or like a B-Fab.
B-Fab. I wish, that's a good call. That's a very good call.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wish Jade was in this. She won't be, obviously, but because she's the champion. But yeah, that would be the one for B-Fab to eliminate. Because Jade and Bianca, like, to me, that's a WrestleMania match right there. Like a big WrestleMania match.
Going over to the men in order from who got announced, Cody Rhodes, Gunther, Jey Uso, Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee, Penta, Roman Reigns, Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, Braun Breaker, Logan Paul, Bronson Reed, Austin Theory, Javon Evans, Obafemi, Randy Orton, and on the Pat McAfee show, Brock Lesnar announced he was it's weird because Randy Orton announced on Get Up, Brock Lesnar announced on Pat McAfee. Look, the ESPN partnership is strong. I just don't see the
Lyra effect. And Bailey announced on Main Event.
That's on brand, unfortunately, as much as I love Aunt Pam and her wacky bird friend. All right, so same deal. I am going to I'll start something here. I don't think anybody from NXT is in here because Javon and Oba have been brought up. And also you're going to have Trick probably in here somewhere. So I don't think they need them.
No, and there's no names in NXT right now that are big enough that would get any kind of reaction. Ricky Starks is probably the biggest name left down there. And
He was on NXT Tuesday. I don't see anybody who was on NXT Tuesday flying out there with the possible exception of Joe Hendry.
Joe Hendry's a good, like Joe Hendry kind of almost think has to be in it, but maybe not.
I think the obvious most eliminations is going to be Obafemi. I think we both agree on that.
I mean, okay, and we didn't talk surprises. Like
we need to talk surprises. Rob has Goldberg appearing in this thing.
Yeah,
I'm almost positive of it.
You mentioned that, really? Eh? Okay. I mean Jericho.
Jericho, I have. Yeah, that's a good one.
Jericho. So I saw that Mr. Iguana is rumored to be going, and
that's a
I don't
good call.
Think, yeah. I so think. I think that he is going to be there. And he's going to be announced, and he isn't going to be in the match. Because I think Finn Balor is going to attack him on the way to the ring and take his spot. Because Finn and Mr. Iguana were feuding in AAA.
Yeah, but so, I think there's a puppet off. I think they're both in the match, and they have their puppets.
No, because Finn's not in it.
Oh, that's right, because it doesn't...
That's the storyline. I think he attacks Mr. Iguana on the way to the ring and takes his spot.
That's a good call. That's a good call.
So we'll see. We'll see. I think maybe. Okay, here's the thing. We've mentioned this with the women, and it may be a problem here as well. If this was anywhere but Saudi Arabia, I would think we might be seeing Will Hobbs, but I think they may save that one for Tuesday to debut him. And have him interfere in that, or like help Ricky Starks in that NXT
in the ladder
match.
No, that's a good call too.
Yeah, because I don't think he would have much impact debuting at the Royal Rumble. You've already got Obafemi, and honestly, I think Will Hobbs might outshine Obafemi, and you don't necessarily want that either. I don't think we're getting Oba. Wonder who
almost.
I said Evil on Takedown. That he would get no reaction either, but you know, it's possible they might want to bring him in.
It almost probably shows up here.
That's a good call.
I would not be shocked if the Great Khali showed up.
Really? Okay.
Just to get eliminated by somebody in a power move.
Isn't he like immobile? Like even more than he used to be?
It's an Iron Sheik thing. No. But I'm trying to just think there are no surprises really left unless they do Attitude Era people. Like, I don't see Undertaker coming in and doing this. I don't see Michaels or Triple H in a video game.
No. Doing this. I mean, you know, Kane is always.
John Cena's not going to do it.
Oh, no, Kane. Not John Cena. Kane is, I mean, he could always do it. Okay.
Yeah, he has his political career right now. He can't do
true, it. True, 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 true. Yeah. like I said, I'm not advocating for it. I'm just trying to think of who they'd want. There really isn't a ton of spots available.
There was a thing on the internet, and I'll bring this up, that on, I think it was on Get Up or First Take, where Seth Rollins was on it, and they say that he ruined that he was going to be in it.
Yeah, I heard about that. And yeah, I think there's a good chance we see Seth Rollins.
Okay.
Yeah.
So question, who does he eliminate and who is he helping? Because there's been that rumor that Austin Theory is a mole for Seth.
Yeah, I've seen that because they were a team back in the Thunderdome era, I think it was. He had the group with him and Buddy Matthews, I think. Or no, it was Shane Thorne.
Braun Breaker is totally eliminating somebody from the Vision.
I think it's the other way around. I think Logan Paul eliminates Braun.
Okay.
I think he laid it on a little thick in that interview segment on Raw. I think he eliminates Braun in that, you know, maybe. And as far as Seth goes, I think he's like, he'll come in and he may eliminate Logan, possibly Bronson. There's
a bunch of guys who could be in this who just don't matter.
R-Truth and
Carmelo.
I had Carmelo at number one and lasting like all the way like till like number 30, but not being in the final four. Like,
okay.
I think he's going to be in there a long time.
Let's check.
Who do final you have four? Four? Yeah. Yes. So my final four would be Roman, Cody, Braun, and I'll say Seth.
Okay, I'm going to go Cody, Roman. I originally was going to go Braun and Logan, but I'm going to go Logan Paul and Oba Femi.
Okay. I think Oba's going to be in there. Like, he's going to do like the Brock Lesnar where he eliminates a bunch of people and then, you know, somehow gets eliminated. Like, I don't think he'll be in there at the end, but he could be.
I think that's possible.
Who do you have winning? Roman?
I have Roman winning this.
Yeah, I have Roman winning as well. Yeah, Roman and Punk at Mania, I think.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
They set that up at last year's Raw after Mania, so there's no reason not to do it.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it feels like the most straight-ahead thing. It feels like also there's a Cody heel turn coming.
I agree with that as well. It's going to be like, I think if it happens, I think he's using like the Bret Hart playbook where he's going to be justified in his own mind and he's still going to have his own fans, but the majority of people will be booing him.
He's going to be the one to screw Sammy out of the title, I think.
That could be.
He's going to go in as the title holder at Mania against Jacob Fatu and probably Drew going after him and maybe Randy in a four-way. I don't know.
That could happen. That could happen. Yeah. So him being there as the final four makes sense. Orton is always a possibility to be there for sure. Braun, or maybe I have Braun. I can't even remember what I said now. I think I had Braun. I had Braun. Yeah. I had Braun being eliminated by Logan. So
yeah, that was weird to me. You had him in the final four, but he was eliminated by.
Did Logan. I? Okay, yeah. So that does make sense. Yeah. So I know although you know you could do the Logan Paul out of the ring, but people forgot he was in there, and then that seems like a Logan Paul thing to do.
I'll do the prop. I'll do this prop bet though. Javon Evans will do whatever Kofi spot you'd think Kofi would do.
Yeah.
There's a possibility he messes it up.
That could be. Yeah. And Sol Ruka probably for the women doing that.
Yes. She's going to take over the Katana Chance thing of doing those types of spots or whatever. But yes.
I think Kalani Jordan tried it one. Am I making
that
up
last
in my head?
Year? Might no, have been. You're not.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah,
because I think I remember her doing like a handstand or something to get back.
She could be. She could be in that women's rumble too. I don't think she was on the show on.
No, we mentioned her. We mentioned her being possibly in the rumble. That's what I said.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Did you say Kendall Gray?
No, I don't think Kendall.
I think she might be in there.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah. 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 I think I had her as a surprise.
That's our rumble preview. We can do some quick hits on either NXT or AEW. We did a whole show on AEW last night, though. If you want to go listen to it there,
well, it'll just sound like I will say, like, as far as NXT, I don't know what you thought, but like, I thought, man, I didn't think that show was very good at all.
I didn't either, but I, as I told you last night, I did enjoy the Nikita Lyons character turn. It wasn't great, no, but was it interesting? Sure. She's trying something, and I'm kind of like watching, and it's a little bit out of her comfort zone. She's the divine feline. All right, let's see where this goes. I'm cool with this. Did she lose? Yes. To
you know what?
38-year-old like, Thea Hale.
The match she had, though, I mean, that was like they no. What didn't she wrestle Jada Parker?
No, she wrestled Jada Parker. You're correct.
Yeah, they had a physical match. Like yes. I was surprised, and it was not bad. The funny thing is with Nikita Lyons, everyone's talking about her return. And the funny thing is if you watch NXT really closely, she's on almost every week.
Yeah, she's in the background doing something.
And she's chewing up the scene.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Like she is someone like if there's a segment in the locker room, don't pay attention to the people in the main shot. Look behind them. You're probably going to see Nikita there and she's going to be doing something hilarious.
It sounds like she's trying to put on a Mid-Atlantic, like, William F. Buckley-type accent, too, which is killing me. And I'm just like, I love this, because it's so, like, when I read comic books, it's so B-villain going to, like, the Kingpin and saying, I could work for you, Kingpin. It's like, all right, like, go ahead, and just get her ass beat.
Trying to write a theme song for Blake Monroe. It's pretty funny. You know who she reminds me of? And I don't know if you'll get this. I mentioned this to Keela Cash. I don't think it was on air. And she totally got it. Do you remember the show Star?
No.
Oh, okay. It was a spinoff of... I'm blank. Empire.
Okay, I never watched Empire, so...
Oh, okay, well, so it was a spinoff of Empire. And there was this character named Star... And Nikita Lyons is Star, like 100%. It's like she's like a mixed race like person that's trying to get into the music industry, and she's like it's kind of a mixture of like hip hop R&B kind of stuff, and
which
and
is she's also what Nikita kind of Lyons was here in North Hollywood. Yes. So yes,
yeah, and she's got the same kind of look. You know, it's same hair. It's not the same body. I will say that Nikita Lyons' body is very unique. And
she's my new Vader, if I can, but I don't think she's gonna be female Vader.
No,
I'll bring something else up from AEW.
Okay,
we kind of went on last night, but it's something that needs to be said. I have missed Andrade El Idolo. This version,
This presentation.
I love that dude. I mean, in AEW, number one, because it's kind of the anniversary of him going to Darby and saying, "Where's your boss for Sting?" which is one of the great. Next to that, and him going to Sting and going, "I want to buy your kid." Yeah. it's like, I love slick leader Andrade El Idolo, but he's always like, he was missing the cool factor when he went back to WWE.
Oh, he's got that in spades now.
He's got it now, and it's great. And yeah, he's a ladies' man. He's totally stealing Angel Garza's stuff, and he's stealing other people's stuff from
Soberano.
Mexico. Soberano.
Yeah, you know, Latin Lover.
Look, the best borrow, they don't steal. So it's one
there
of those
you go. There you go. Things. Yeah. And I think this will probably lead to him finding someone, because it was, we talked about it on the show last night, we weren't sure if it was the same woman or not. It definitely was not the same woman.
Okay, so, but he's gonna have a valet eventually, I think.
He's gonna find one, and someone I saw suggested Carissa Rivera, which I think would be good. Although, I mean, it's a good look. I don't know if she's got the chops to do that role.
You know who would be perfect for this would be Layla Gray while she's rehabbing, yes, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, she could do it, like, even without doing it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Zelina Vega was, I mean, that was such a great tandem.
It was a good tandem. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously she's not available and she's not doing anything right now either.
Well, yeah. Well, the problem was when they started making her work full time instead of just doing the Hurricanrana spot.
Which, yeah. Yeah. Which made the team with Black is good. It's just, you know, I think they took him off TV cause they don't want him in the Rumble.
And the other point I wanted to bring up real quick was I, as much as I loved the ending last night, of Dynamite. I love the entire Richard Linklater slacker vibe on there following MJF around. But again, the button on that should have been Brody King.
Yeah, because he's
set up the match next week. Yeah.
Yeah. And he could have been in the car. He could have been in front of the car. Like the MJF says, go, go, go. And the driver's like, no. And then it's like, Brody's right there.
Can't, boss. Why? Yeah. Got a dog in the car.
Yeah. Or just like he's in front of the car and he's like, you're not going to run him over. Yeah. Something like that. But yeah, he's like, he's an afterthought, which I mean, I guess that kind of tells you he's probably not winning next week.
Let's end this with randomness of stuff you watched this week. I'll start with mine's quick. I watched the Raven documentary on Amazon. I paid for the rental. These are my favorite kind of documentaries. It's not completist because they couldn't get Stevie, and they mentioned this. They go, Stevie Richards refused to do this, and they couldn't get Heyman.
Oh.
But as a subject, I mean, Heyman's talked about a lot. Raven owns up to being kind of an asshole, and he owns up to kind of being, like, I forgot he had gone to college, and that's where he started doing bodybuilding and roids and stuff like that. He was jacked in college. He was bigger than you remember him. The other thing it doesn't mention anything about Global. It just kind of starts. It starts with him on the Indies in New Jersey, going to WCW, going to WWE, going to Portland, and then back to ECW. But it never does anything about the cartel, which I find GWF a fascinating company to watch in terms of a time capsule of guys who would become big and things that they were trying. I mean, it's really the first company with a heel authority figure in it, because
I never got to see GWF because that was on ESPN, right?
Right. And it was also the first place I ever saw Sean Waltman as Lightning Kid.
Yeah.
And I had
heard we didn't get ESPN up here, but I read the 1991 Observers just recently. Okay. So they cover a lot of that. And then, you know, they took over the time slot from, AWA.
Yeah.
So they're talking about, and at the time the TV was some of the best TV that was going. I mean, if you look back now, it doesn't look great, but Dave said like, it was, you know, like WCW is in the shitter at that point. They got better in late 91, early 92. They started to get better, but they lost Flair and it kind of fell apart for a little while.
I liked their play by play team. It was Craig Johnson and Scott
Hudson, right?
Hudson, yes.
Yeah.
And they'd later go to the center stage tapings. But
yeah,
the main heel group was called the Cartel, and it was Cactus Jack, Scotty the Body Anthony, Rip Rogers, and Muckin Singh, aka Norman, aka
and they were
funded by the owner Max Andrews,
okay,
to take out baby faces and stuff like that.
I remember Muckin Singh from Stampede as part of Karachi Vice,
right? He brought back that character for this.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So
it was an interesting crew.
I listened to the interview that Raven did with, I think it was Garrett and Dave on Wrestling Observer Radio.
Yes.
And so I was intrigued, and I came away from that interview, and I don't know if you thought the same thing watching the doc, but if he had decided, rather than to get into professional wrestling in college, if he had decided to get into radio, he could have been a Howard Stern. Like this guy is so smart and naturally funny and thoughtful that I think that he could have done something really big in radio.
I think he could have gone into acting.
Legit. Yeah, I mean, obviously
if he had gotten some training on it. I mean you look at him when he's young and he's just jacked and he's, you know, he's attractive and you're like, okay, cool. Yeah. But then you watch him on like a local commercial and he's terrible. Maybe some actual acting training. Maybe he gets his reps in. Maybe he can do something with that.
But his thought process in becoming a professional wrestler was just putting everything he had into it and making the most of the whatever abilities and physical, you know, gifts that he'd been given, which wasn't much, but he made the best of it. I think the way he put it was like, I'm this, you know, like skinny Jewish kid who is a little funny.
Yes.
And we'll see what we can do with that. Yeah. You know, and
he would have gone into comedy if he could have too. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Comedy. I mean, and he probably would have done really well there too. So,
so what have you watched this week?
I watch a lot. I watch a couple of GCW shows. Not a lot of note on there, but I had some time yesterday. So the shows they did on the weekend of January 17th and 18th, and the guys that made an impression on me there was KJ Orso, who is the former Fuego del Sol. He's doing some really good stuff there. Gringo Loco wrestled a couple matches, and I thought did a really good job. Jordan Oliver, who just got signed with AEW, and I guess he had just signed at the time he did this, so the fans were chanting, "You deserve it," and he did a go-away promo. So that was kind of cool. And then this guy, Thomas Shire, that we talked about off air, who reminds me of Terry Gordy, both in his look and his working style. He's obviously not as good as Terry Gordy.
Kind of a giant brawling type with a little bit of flab on him. Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of flab and not much, you know, facially, like clean shaven. You know, he doesn't have the afro, but he's got the long straight hair. He looks like he's a throwback. But, you know, and he's a hoss. Like, he's just a hoss. So, you know, I kind of liked watching him. I'm intrigued. You know, if I see he's on a card again, I'll watch that. And I also watched Evolve. And as bad as NXT was, Evolve was so much worse.
Yes.
Normally I like the show. But this week, it was basically the NWO Nitro, but with people that are green as grass. And it was terrible. So do you remember Mike Sanders?
Above average Mike Sanders, yeah. I mean, also went into stand-up comedy after his wrestling career.
So I liked Mike Sanders.
I did too.
Do you remember when he was like the commissioner and he was making matches and everything? Okay, so this was – Mike Sanders was Ric Flair compared to Cam Hendricks, who – God bless Cam Hendricks. Maybe he'll be something someday. He's the Mr. Maxine Dupri. They're a couple. He was so bad on this show, and he was on the mic so much. And at one point, Pete Rosenberg, who is also in the news, we won't talk about why. He says, "God bless him, but I've seen more than enough Cam Hendricks to last me a lifetime." And I was thinking the exact same thing. This dude, oh my God. So this show, if you want to see like the absolute worst professional wrestling show you could ever want to see, check out Evolve this week on Tubi. It was a special kind of bad. The main event was a 3-on-1 handicap match between the Evolve champion, Jackson Drake, against Keanu Carvier, Harley Riggins, and Jax Presley. And you know who got the win?
I don't care, but tell me.
Just take a guess. Remember,
it had to be Keanu Carver, right?
No. it was Cam Hendricks.
Oh, of course.
who wasn't even in the match. Yes. He added himself to the match and then took the pin. Like literally in as long as it took me to say that, that's how long it took to happen. This show was so bad.
Oh, I hate when they do that kind of stuff.
It was so bad. So, yeah, check that out.
On that note, get your plugs in, sir.
I should be on Wrestling Observer Radio this weekend on the F4W online site. If I'm not, it's because schedules didn't interact, but I'm usually there for the UFC coverage and maybe some Royal Rumble thoughts. I will be on The Takedown on the Fight Game Media Network next Tuesday with Garrett Gonzalez. We have a free audio feed, and as well, you can find us on YouTube. And then of course, Jeff and I will be next Wednesday, right after Dynamite ends, with the Dynamite show, also on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel and the free audio feed on Thursday morning.
Follow me at Crap Game 13 on X. We'll see you next week.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.